My name's Ali and I'm an addict. Wow, well, and I know my heart's working anyway, that's for sure. What I suggest you do is, a couple of weeks ago, I said in here, you know what, when I'm 2 years clean, I will sit and I will do a chair here. And what actually happened was that my higher power was watching, and 20 minutes later, Roz came up to me and said, will you do a chair for me? And I was like, yes, I will. Where would you like me to do it? And she said, I'd like you to do it here. And it's a real privilege to be asked. And I'm a bit nervous, but you know what? I'm not too bad. But what I've actually done is I've brought a jar, and in it, I've got plan A and plan B, because I always had them in my using, yeah? And what I've done is I've put everything into this jar. I've spoken into it for 2 weeks, yeah? It's got everything, yeah? It's got the Serenity Prayer. It's got heart-rending tales of using, yeah? Where I ended up, how I got into recovery, everything, because I can't fit it in 15 minutes. And you know what, if I dry up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open this jar up, and I would just like you all to breathe in, yeah? I don't know what you're going to get, yeah? You might get a bit of Serenity Prayer, you might get a bit of Basic Text, you might get Step 9, I just don't know, yeah? But it's all in there. And the other thing is that I always had a plan B, and my plan B for tonight is that what I will do is I will hurl this jar into the air, and as you're actually catching it, I will be legging it out of the door, yeah? And as I get up the road, I'm thinking I'm smoking a cigarette, because I do love them, and I'll be thinking, you know what, I can't believe they fell for that one. The oldest one in the book, yeah, an imaginary chair in a jar. You know, I thought those junkies were smart, you know? So let's hope I don't have to open the lid. I wanted to kind of talk to you today. You know, I used for a long time. I don't really want to talk about my using because I want to get into recovery. But I read that just for today, you know, I do every day, and it was just awesome. And it told me everything that I needed to talk about tonight. And I'm very fond of music as well, and I've been listening to the Ramones a lot recently. And one of the songs that they actually have is called I Wanna Be Sedated. And you know what, the doctors and hospitals wouldn't sedate me every day, so I knew I had to find a way to sedate myself. And that's what I found. When I got to 19, I found heroin, and I thought, yeah, you know what, I'm home. This will do the trick. You know, I had a life. I had a son, but very, very slowly, that heroin kind of saved my life at one point, and then very, very, very slowly, it took it away. And as it took it away, it gave me consequences to use on. You know, I was just a dead girl walking. You know, I had some self-esteem at one point, and it came just trickling out. It just trickled out everywhere, you know, and I tried to fill it up, and drugs weren't the only thing I filled it with. You know, I tried a lot of things to fill the void. I tried free money, because if I was using for free, then that must be okay. And I used a lot of men as well, because I thought, you know what, this will help, and any kind of help for a little bit, but you know what, it just dwindled straight out. My son, you know, I talk a lot about my son. My son's called Josh, and he's absolutely beautiful, you know. My childhood wasn't that great, and I always said, you know what, when I have a child, I'm going to give this child kind of everything that I didn't have and none of what I did. And I had a child at 19, and he was a blank canvas, and he grew up around my addiction, you know, and very quickly things started happening to me. We talk in the readings, you know, about, like, you know, inability to accept personal responsibility, and I had none of that, you know. Everything that came along, I was using on, and those consequences just kept racking up. You know, my son was dragged through my addiction. with me. You know, he didn't actually use himself because he was too young to, but he witnessed a fair amount, you know, and he became really, really damaged. How much time have I got? Fantastic. Right. Yeah. You know, I had physical consequences that racked up. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of my powerlessness, and then we're going to rack on to kind of the end of my using. When I was sort of in my early 20s, my son's father was actually sent to prison. You know, this all happened within a couple of years. I actually caught Hep B, and I was hospitalized, and I was in a very bad way. They actually called me Crocus because I was so yellow. And it wasn't actually the Hep B that was killing me. It was the intake of drugs. But as soon as they turned around and said, you know what, we're going to have to stop them, I was out of that bed and I was up and running. You know, I was always running. You know, I was running from my past, and I was able to keep it in the day by just keeping on using. You know, it was continual Groundhog Day. I've used on my arse, literally, and I've used with some money, and it was all the same. I always thought that magically something would happen and I'd be able to get it right. I was a soldier of addiction. You know, I was a true fucking trooper. And I just kept putting my head over the parapet, getting shot, going down a little, and just getting back on and using. You know, I squeezed my life around my using. And by the end of my using, which was quite a long time, I actually had no life. You know, I had no life. It had all just kind of dwindled away. You know, my son left home at 16, just as I had, with two carrier bags, and went and lived in a squat and used. You know, how I'd achieve this were very different to how my childhood was, but the results were the same. And he used, and he drank. And, you know, that it caused me a lot of pain, and it still does, but I have an amount of acceptance around it today. The end of my using was far from the start, you know. It was so far removed, it was unbelievable. The end of my using had me self-starved because I wanted to die, and I didn't. I just had no plan B, you know. I had no plan B left. And I sat on a bathroom floor in a filthy dressing gown thinking, you know what, I just don't know what to do. I really don't. And I remember the window cleaner used to come round, and I'd be hiding from the window cleaner. Please don't let him knock on the door, you know. I scraped through the door of recovery, you know. And I had no problem believing in a higher power because, you know, I came in with some quite drastic physical consequences. And, you know, I was still alive to actually get into recovery. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. When I got into a detox, NA found me. A guy called NA Joe came in. He was 10 years clean. He was absolutely fantastic. He had squeaky, clean, curly hair. He had loads of cool as fuck tattoos. You know, one of them which said addict in Gothic, you know. And if we were really, really good, he'd show it to us, you know. And he told us his using stories. And for the first time, I actually found out that people could get clean. I had no idea. People died. They went to prison. They moved away. No one stayed clean. And he gave us his time, and he came in week after week, and he brought people in. And I needed to know that they'd walked a mile in my shoes. And none of them ever disappointed me. They were open and honest about their using, and they were quite free about how they kept their recovery. And they just kept coming in. And that man actually gave me unconditional love for the first time when he said, you know what, Ali, you have a problem. And the problem that you have is you. You use drugs for a reason. But it's not the woman in the corner that's on crack. It's not the man over there that's an alcoholic. It's you. And I went to treatment, and you know what? I was a little soldier of addiction. They kind of patched me up, yeah? They kind of, You know, they patched up the most immediate wounds and they scraped a lot of the denial out of my head. And they let me loose on South London, you know, and I got adopted by the South London Massive, yeah? And I was like a newborn, and boy, did they have a job on their hands, you know? I started going to meetings a lot when I got up to treatment here, and, you know, what, I've never looked back. I got commitments. You know, I was an outsider. I was an outsider in my using. I was an outsider my whole life. And I wanted what you had, and I knew how to get it. You know, what, NHO had opened that door for me. One man, as an H&I commitment, had come in and he'd opened up the door of NA for me. And I kept walking to those meetings. I went to meetings, loads of meetings, and I got accepted. And I wanted to be even more part of NA, so what I did was I took a commitment, and every time I said, you know what, my name's Ali, I'm an addict, and I'm the literature person for this meeting, I belonged, I'd morphed, I'd actually become part of NA. And I carried on taking commitments, and once I'd finished with South London, I started to get around. You know, I got around in my addiction a lot, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to get around in my recovery. And you know, anywhere in London now, I am actually able to walk into a meeting and there will be people there that I know. And I'm going to tell you two highlights of my year because I'm running out of time and I can't believe that. It's awesome. Yeah. The first highlight of my year was that at 9 months, I was able to go back shoulder to shoulder with NA Joe, and I was able to take a message into my original detox. And that blew me away, you know, that I'd actually had a message to give. You know, I have a sponsor, I work the steps, but I think it's attraction rather than promotion. And the people that actually showed me love when I came in the door kept me in my seat to be able to go on and do all the things that I've done today. And when I was a year clean, I actually picked my key ring up at Brixton. My son plays in a band, and I had 2 minutes to go to pick my key ring up, and he burst through the door. You know what, my son's very beautiful, he's a little Ziggy Stardust, he's really tall and skinny, and he burst in the door and he brought me a cake, and on it was one candle. And I hugged my son and I told him I loved him, and I said thank you to NA. You know, you've given me a fantastic year. You know, all of the people in this room have contributed to my recovery, and the self-esteem that pissed everywhere I walked, you know, some of those holes are actually closing now. And my sponsor said to me the other day, you know what, Alison, and she's the only one that gets away with calling me Alison, so don't even try it. She said, you know what, you've come a long way, but you still have a long way to go. And I intend to keep doing what I'm doing so that I can actually get there. And I'll leave it there.
Thanks.